Blog Talk Radio.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. They don't really understand it. They don't know your story.
You don't know my story.
You don't know
the things.
You don't know the things that I come through.
You cannot imagine.
You cannot imagine.
Okay.
My lowest.
Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to Jesus the Only Way Radio Blog. My name is Faith Dean and I am your host. To all those out there listening, let's give God some praise. Glory,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glad
thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Today, amen. Today we are having our special guest, Sister Maria Smith, and she will be speaking today. But before we get started, Sister Beverly, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Yes. Dear Heavenly Gracious Father, we do come once again before your precious throne of grace, thanking you for this here another day that you have seen fit to give to each and every one of us. We thank you, Father God, for that which you have planned before the very foundation of this earth, that Sister Smith would be on today, bringing forth a message, Father God, that you have placed in her heart to speak about here this day. Father, we pray that everyone who will ever listen to this recording, that they will be blessed by something that would have been said here this day, dear Father God. We pray now, Father God, that you would just continue to bless so that your word will move forth mightily through our speaker today. Open up ears to hear. Open up hearts to receive. These things we pray, Father God, in your name, the praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Beverly. Sister Maria, you can go ahead and start.
Thank you, and I have to say, give an honor to God for another day. When Seth asked me to speak, what came to mind for me was the word recovery. And when I think about recovery, I think of all that I've been through in my life. You know, I am a survivor. I'm a survivor of domestic violence. I'm a survivor of rape. I'm a recovering addict. I celebrated 13 years clean April 11th of this year. And the reason I put all that together, because everything that occurred to me fell during the times of during the time that I had been using, you know, I went through domestic violence relationships and had been raped a couple of times, and you know, I'd have not so much forgotten about those days, but have overcome, you know, a lot of obstacles in my life, and you know, I'm rebuilding my relationship with God on a daily basis. And, you know, I'm back in church. I found a church home. I'm married. I've been married coming up on 3 years, my first marriage, you know, and that's, you know, and by the grace of God, through my trials and tribulations and all my learnings, I've been able to help my husband in a better way of life. And with that being said, I have to, there's so many of us that go through situations that stay stuck in those dark places, you know, that carry that victim for so long. And I was that person. I was a victim. I was angry. I didn't care for who I was, that I allowed depression to consume me and take over who I was and everything about me. And through doing some work, I'm no longer a victim. I'm a survivor, and today I try to reach out to people that have experienced some similarities, similar things to me. And I try to show them that, through God, you don't have to be that victim anymore. I went through a number of years in a couple of relationships where I was constantly beat up. I was verbally beat up. I was emotionally beat up. I was physically beaten on a regular basis. And my fears would not allow me to walk away from those relationships, And because of that, I didn't, I couldn't find the love in loving myself, Four years ago in July, I prayed to God and I asked him, I said, will you please just open the door for me and show me a different way of life, And that day, after that prayer, that was the time that I walked away from a 7-year abusive relationship, And there was a lot of fear behind how do I live, how do I love myself, how do I move forward, I'm broken goods, I thought I was so broken that I'd never, I'd be alone for the rest of my life. And I sat on the pity pot for a little while, and then through lots of prayer, lots of guidance through the pastor, and some teachings that I was receiving, and doing some recovery work. And again, you'll hear me go back to recovery, because recovery, in my recovery, I do what we call step work, and step work allows me to get honest with me and get to know who I am and what I've been through and where I'm at this present time and which way am I going in life, and it also helps me build my and direct me towards building my relationship with God and for me, I choose to call him God, because some people they call him a higher power, and my recovery has taught me how to build this relationship, and in building this relationship, life has turned out to be something totally different, and I share with women, You can go through the situation, but once you're out of the situation, you have to know that you're not a victim. You are a survivor. You made it through that. You're here to talk about that. Take all that negative, turn it into a positive, and reach out to those that are still struggling. And that's what I try to do. I have a daughter that stayed in a relationship for 8 years, and it was an ugly relationship, I have two daughters, and I tell both of my girls, I cannot tell you who to love, and I can't tell you when you're tired of dealing with whatever negative aspect is in that relationship. All I can tell you is pray and go to church and do whatever work is necessary around you and that relationship to find out which direction you need to go in, and right now my daughter fights with a lot of anger behind she put 8 years into a relationship that was not a healthy relationship, and I have to tell her, and I share with her, there's a lot of us out there. There's a lot of us out there that have endured some pain and some anger and some and abuse, and there's a lot of us out there that are reaching out to help one another get through that. You know, I tell you, I've gotten to the point where I can see the signs. I can tell when somebody's going through something, a simple thing like a hug. You know, I don't have to say anything to anybody. I might just say, "Can I give you a hug today?" You know, and that'll open the door to being able to help somebody. You know, and for me, sharing my experience, my strength, and hope, you know, with the world is my way of giving back to the community. Because I'm not, you know, there was a time where I was ashamed to tell somebody that I had been in a relationship and I had been beaten for so long. There was a time that I was afraid to tell people that I had been raped. There was a time that I had been ashamed to let people know that because of what all of that, I self-medicated and I got caught up in using drugs. And I spent 19 years using drugs, you know, but today I'm not ashamed of it. Today I take all of that and I turn it around and I give that to the community. Because today I'm 13 years clean. Today I have 2 degrees in criminal justice. You know, I'm in the process of working on my transfer degree. Today life is good for me. Today I'm married to a man that is in awe of all the strength and the power that I have in the way my life has changed. And that through God, that's how my life is changing. I ask God on a daily basis, please walk me through today. Guide me through today and show me your way. You know, and help me help somebody. You know, and it's ironic because I after having spoke on the show before, I wound up getting connected with a young lady that's written some books, and I've talked at 2 women's conferences and met more women that have shared their story by writing books, and people are talking to me about possibly writing my story, you know, and my story, you know, because this is such a short session on the radio show, I mean, I could go into some details. I can't go into a broad spectrum of my life, but, you know, I've been shot. I have wounds or scars on my back from wounds of abuse from men. And when I look at myself, I see a lot of those wounds. You know, those scars from those wounds that I had endured in the past, and by the grace of God, I don't hold on to the pain, the mental and the emotional pain that I held on to for years. When I see my body, you know, I thank God today that I survived that, you know, because there's so many out there that didn't make it. You know, going back to my recovery, I self-medicated because I loathe who I was. I didn't like me because I had scars on my back. I didn't like me because I felt like I was tainted. I wasn't any good to anybody because of what had happened to me. Being raped, there were scars, physical and mental scars from that, and I didn't think that I'd ever be able to love who I am, and I always felt like being that person, it was like how do you survive that? How do you be okay with who you are and carry yourself in the world as if nothing happened, you know. And I learned, and I can't say it enough, I learned how to share those experiences and let people know that, you know, I picked up the Bible, I went to church, I talked to my pastor, I did step work. You know, I learned to love me. And although, you know, and loving me sometimes is still a struggle, you know. But I worked through that. And I don't hold on to yesterday. You know, although sometimes it's in the back of my head, sometimes that it comes up, it doesn't come up as pain anymore. It comes up as I can hold my head up and say, today I survive. I'm a survivor of, you know, and going to school, the work that I do in school, I'm a criminal justice major, and the reason I chose criminal justice is because my goal is to be an advocate for women that are people. I won't just say women because there are cases where men have been raped and abused. But I want to become an advocate to help those that need to get the help for themselves. You know, I want to be that one that doesn't turn my head when somebody says I'm being beat up. I want to be that one to hug and hold that person and help walk that person through whatever journey they have to walk through to get to where they need to be to feel good about who they are. I want to be able to legally help them get the help that they need, because there's so much out here. You know, they'll tell you to get restraining orders, you know, and the restraining orders are a piece of paper. And those restraining orders can be used as control mechanisms. And, you know, I spent 7 years on a restraining order, or 4 years on a restraining order, excuse me, 4 years on a lie-based restraining order, so he could control when he wanted to spend time with me. He would use that restraining order and say to me, I'm coming over to spend the night at your house, and if not, I'm going to call the police and say you violated the restraining order. You know, and it was like I was scared because I didn't want to go to jail, because I knew that he was good. He was able to lie, so, and he was convincing that I was scared that I was going to go to jail. So I submitted to him for 4 years on a restraining order because he used that as the way to control me. And it took me 4 years after that to see what that restraining order was all about. Although it's supposed to help us, it's supposed to protect us, some people get away with using them as a control mechanism, you know. And I'm doing research and I'm doing work around trying to figure out how to make those restraining orders a better order to protect the victim and not allow the person that's assaulting that victim use it as a control mechanism. You know, I'm trying to help women know that there's ways out, and there's plans, and there's ways to get away from, safely get away from abusive relationships, you know. And so my plate is real full, and my husband he's like, how are you doing so much? I'm a student. I'm a full-time mother to a 26-year-old mentally challenged son. I'm a wife to a husband that is, he has some ailments that have come up, and I'm, you know, I'm a grandmother that enjoys my grandchildren, and I still enjoy life, you know. So with that being said, it just, when I think about topics, And I put it all together, because you recover from domestic violence, you recover from abuse, You recover from drug abuse. It's a recovery process. And for me, my life has been a complete recovery process. You know, I feel for those women out there or those men out there that are being abused and that are afraid to step out and reach for help. You know, I feel for those that can't seem to get off the drug usage and stay off. You know, I have a tendency of saying, you know, getting off drugs is easy. Living on life's terms is hard. You know, my other term that I use is, or phrase I use is, I've been given a second chance at a first-class life. You know, and my chance is to be able to share my experience, share my strength, and share my hope with the community and let them know that you too can survive. You too can change your life. You know, things don't always have to look as grim as they do when you're in those situations. Things get better. And that's basically where I'm at today. You know, I'm so grateful for my life today. You know, it's challenging. My son, he has learned, like I said, he's mentally challenged, and he's learned to be abusive. And I'm trying my hardest to redirect him, you know, and it's gotten to the point where I've had to tell my husband that there might be a day where we might have to put him somewhere. And his abuse is to the extreme. He will rip my hair out of my head, and he'll bite holes in my skin, and he will punch me in the face or in the head. And a lot of people say, well, he's mentally challenged, but I have to teach him as well. Abuse is abuse regardless if you're mentally challenged or not. And there's, you know, I can't be a victim of any form of abuse, even the abuse that comes from my son. You know, and although he might not understand what he's doing, it is still a form of abuse, and it wears me down, you know. But I had to share that real quick with everybody because the fact that it's like domestic violence is out there, you know, it's out there, and it's a big topic. And it needs to be addressed. And the only way it can be addressed is if more victims stand up and say, I need help. Please help me. Show me the way. You know, and I want to work. I'm hoping that our pastor will start a program or I can find a program through one of the visiting churches that I go to that I can get involved in and work with some of these women and men too. That are enduring these hardships in their life. And that's where I'm at today. So.
Amen. Amen. Does anybody have any questions or comments on this?
Well, Sister Faith, this is Chapman, in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Well, my hats is off to you, and I stand and give you honor, ma'am, in your endeavors and your change in your life, because a lot of people in this world suffer from pain, and they think a lot of that pain of drugs and addiction and mental abuse and physical abuse is incurable. But we do have a God that can drive those things out of their lives. And thank God that our people that have experienced these endeavors lives can come together and discuss situations and get some healing out of it. Because many men and women have found healing in their primary relationships. Like you said, you have a loving husband now. You're in a church where they are loving and caring people. And then you have the peace of surrender, and then the humility and the self-acceptance that follow confession. You can make amends, not only with yourself, but with God, who you have sinned against. And the joy of that purpose in doing God's will and sharing the purpose of healing that you have found with others that are in that situation. Because a lot of times what we go through in life really is not, but it's for us to experience that, so we have a testimony to help those who are going through that.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Sister Beverly?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it was certainly a very, very powerful testimony that you gave, and certainly the remedy that you spoke about, which is God Almighty, that's where one will have to go to come out of these different dilemmas that we would find ourselves in. So I thought it was a very powerful message, and I really, you know, learned something here today, especially I never thought of it in the way that you spoke about it, but even with the issue with a person that's mentally challenged and the things that they are doing at times to people, you know, being abusive sometimes in their actions and all. I never, you know, even thought about lumping that, you know, together as abusive actions at times. But so you brought out some things for me to say, okay, I got an aha moment on that. So I praise God for how open you were today. And opening up about different areas of your life. And I just praise God that you know who to give the praise and the honor and the glory to. And it really touched your heart when you said, when you made the statement, you said, yes, yeah, some will say higher power, but I say God. And you know there's a lot out there talking about a higher power, but what higher power are they talking about? But you were right on target. You let us know that it was God Almighty and no one else. And so, sis, I just praise the Lord for delivering you from all that you have gone through. I praise the Lord for how he's been preparing you before the foundation of this earth so that you might be a blessing unto a whole lot of people, because some of the things you talked about, I mean, you're going to be relating to a lot of people out there. And another thing, and then I'll cease here, but it was very interesting when you spoke about people getting those warrants, you know, against folks and how it could be used against the victim. You know, I found that quite interesting to hear you explain that. And because you know so much and you're going into that field of law enforcement area, you can really relate to what somebody tells you about that warrant. You know what I'm saying? You can relate because you've been through it yourself. So, yeah, those couple of things were really interesting to me that you spoke about. So God bless you. May he use you mightily for his cause. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I had wrote some things down because this definitely is a powerful what you're speaking on today. I have experienced the same thing, especially when it came to those the paperwork trying to manipulate, you know, kind of making you do things that you know that's not. But I always go with the truth, and I'm not going to go with a lie. And so I kind of fought back, and I won because the person that did this to me has done this numerous times. It's not just me, but he's done it to other people too. So it is a manipulating thing that they can do to try to control you. But anyway, the main thing that I saw here is that you are not a victim anymore and that you are a survivor. I love the fact that you say that you are helping others, and that even if you just give a person a hug, that's a start, because you don't know what that person is going through at this moment, what is emotionally going on in their mind, and maybe they can't even speak any words at that time. But a hug just brings you in a different place. And it's a way that you can experience, I got you. I know what you're going through. I can help you.
I like
the fact that you, go ahead.
So rewarding to be able to be there for somebody. It's a reward to me to be able to, if I can't do anything else but hug you and tell you I'm here, you know, and to know just what a person might be going through and not have to say use a bunch of words, just that hug in itself lets them know you are safe.
Exactly.
I am.
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
And, you know, and not, the main thing to me, I'll say, not be quiet, the main thing is not to judge a person because they decide to just stay in that situation. Don't judge a person.
Mm-hmm.
Try to understand
mm-hmm.
where they're coming from and why, what makes them stay there. And that's a lot of
mm-hmm.
fear. The fear of unknown, the fear of how to make it, or which direction am I going to go in once I walk away? You know,
mm-hmm.
There's so much judgment out there based on, well, you should have left in the first place. No, you don't judge people for that. Because what we think it is, what victims think it is, they think it's love. They think
mm-hmm.
that they're in love and that this is love. This is what love is supposed to look like until one
mm-hmm.
day their door is open for them, you
mm-hmm.
know. And that's because I know there were so many that judged me for staying in the relationship and called me names because I stayed in that abusive relationship, you know, and told, you know, just said ugly things to me. And today they look at me, and when people see me, they tell me how good I look and where have you been, and you know, I have to share my testimony. I have to share it with you. I have to tell you those
mm-hmm.
days that you looked down on me was because I was going through all this stuff. And today I'm holding my head up and I'm proud. I'm okay. I'm away from all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and you don't, you never tell a person what they can't do, but don't judge anybody. You know, and with that, I could talk all day long about the subject. But thank you for having me on the show.
Oh yes, I also wanted to share that I love the way you're sharing your experience. For you to be an advocate for those that need help. I was in a lot of abusive relationships, and it seems like once I get out, I will meet another person, and I kept getting that same abusive relationship again, and I didn't understand why am I keep getting the same kind of people in my life. But when I look at today, there was no love. There was nothing there. But I had to learn that. I had to learn that through God, because when you are in an abusive relationship in that manner, it takes you on another level. It makes you feel like you have no worth. And once you open your eyes to God, God gives you back that worth that you already had when He created you. So now I understand. And you are doing an excellent job on what you're doing. Your field of study, 2 degrees in criminal justice. You are definitely going to make a difference in a whole lot of people's lives and give them back to the community. And the fact that you are not a chain, that you tell your story just as it is, and that's what people need to know is the truth and how where you were and trying to get back to life is supposed to be. And I am honored to have you today. I am so glad that you are on today. And I just thank you.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on the show.
Yes. Does anyone else have any more comments or questions before we close in? Sister Beverly, would you like to close us in prayer?
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Speaker, for the blessed message. In heaven,
yes.
Father, we just come right now for your throne of grace as we're closing out. We thank you for this woman of God that you sent this way to speak on the things, Father, that you have allowed her to experience in her life. We thank you for her heart to want to reach out and to help others. Father, our prayer is over so many who find themselves in situations, Father God, that they don't even know why they are there, Father God. And so we pray for people, Father God, that find themselves in dire situations. They want to come out of these situations, but they don't quite know how, what moves to make, Father God. And for some of them, Father God, they just haven't gotten to that point there, Father God. So as we meet people along the way that we find in situations like this, let us remember, Father God, to show forth your love into their lives, oh, Father God, because they're dealing with things that many of us probably would never be able to understand. But as the sister has said here today, we are not necessarily called to judge, but we are called to pray for people, to love people, dear Heavenly Father God. And for these things, I just pray and I just thank you for the sharing that was done here today by way of Sister Maria. And God bless her, and God bless all who will ever hear this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Marina. All right, so we're going to tune it in for next Wednesday, and hope all of you guys have a wonderful evening. And thank you, Sister Smith, for your testimony today. It was very powerful, and God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Amen. All right, you guys have a good week and have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Some people have seen where God has brought you from. You don't really understand it.